The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, text number 12, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on March 21st, 2010, in London, England.
This is chapter number 9, text number 12. Actually, this is a very appropriate verse because we have just come by the Natural History Museum. This is a very appropriate verse for having seen the Natural History Museum. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Mogasya moga karmano. Moga jnana vichetasah. Rakshasim asurim chaiva.
Rakshasim asurim chaiva.
Pakritim mohinim shrita. Mogasya moga karmano. Mogha jnana vichetasah. Rakshasim asurim chaiva. Pakritim mohinim shrita. Translation and purport by the Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Those who are not bewildered are attracted, those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Report. There are many devotees who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, but at heart do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna as the Absolute Truth. For them, the fruit of devotional service going back to Godhead will never be tasted. Similarly, those who are engaged in fruitive pious activities and who are ultimately hoping to be liberated from this material entanglement will never be successful either, because they deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. In other words, persons who mock Krishna are to be understood to be demonic or atheistic. As described in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, such demonic miscreants never surrender to Krishna. Therefore, their mental speculations to arrive at the Absolute Truth bring them to the false conclusion that the ordinary living entity and Krishna are one and the same. With such a false conviction, they think that the body of any human being is now simply covered by material nature, and that as soon as one is liberated from this material body, there is no difference between God and himself. And this attempt to become one with Krishna will be baffled because of delusion. Such atheistic and demoniac cultivation of spiritual knowledge is always futile. That is the indication of this verse. For such persons, cultivation of the knowledge in the Vedic literature, like the Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads, is always baffled. It is a great offense, therefore, to consider Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to be an ordinary man. Those who do so are certainly deluded, because they cannot understand the eternal form of Krishna. The Brihad Vishnu Smriti clearly states, Yo Veti Bhautikam Deham Krishnasya Paramatmana Sa Sravasmad Vahishkaraya Shrauta Smarta Vidanata Mukam Tashyo Valokyapi Sachelam Snanam Acharat. One who considers the body of Krishna to be material should be driven out from all rituals and activities of the Shruti and the Smriti. And if one by chance sees his face, one should at once take bath in the Ganges to rid himself of infection. People jeer at Krishna because they are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their destiny is certainly to take birth after birth in a species of atheistic and demoniac life. Perpetually, their real knowledge will remain under delusion, and gradually they will regress to the darkest region of creation. Vande Sri Guru Sri Jatana Padakamala Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vita Tam Sajiva. Sadaita Sabaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva. Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, these words of Krishna, they are very powerful, potent words. This is Krishna's great kindness upon us. Poor lost souls who are struggling in this material existence. We are struggling like anything, especially in the modern day society, just to get food to eat and a place to sleep. It has become a great struggle. Rat race, they call it. Actually, life doesn't have to be so complicated, but because we're trying to imitate God, therefore it has become very complicated. If everyone wants to live as if they are the Supreme, when in fact none of us are the Supreme, it's very difficult to pull that off, because it's such an artificial position. But But if one can simply understand who I am, what is my actual identity, and what is my relationship with the source of existence, that person from whom everything is emanating at every second, then life becomes so simple and easy. No more problems. All problems finished. Actually, it's such a simple thing, Krishna consciousness, but we make it difficult. We make it difficult. We can't imagine it could be this simple and this easy to become completely free of anxiety. We think we have to struggle very hard to become free from anxiety. But it's just the opposite. We have to stop struggling like this and just accept the simple fact that I'm the eternal servant of God. That's all. It's all we really have to do is completely accept the fact that I am the eternal servant of God. If we can make this one simple conviction solidly situated within the heart, then we will see how all of our problems evaporate into the ether. Finished. So how do we come to this conclusion? How do we come to this state of mind where we can accept the simple fact that I'm the eternal servant of God? We have to hear from the great sages, you see, who are firmly convinced. Look at the example of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Vande Rupa Sanatano Raghu Yugo Shri Jiva Gopalako. These Goswamis, they were situated in very wealthy, powerful positions in the society, but they gave it up. Simply become humble mendicants living in Vrindavan, doing research in the Vedic literatures, compiling a huge ocean of literatures just to guide us how to come out of this quagmire of material existence. They gave up anxiety about material possessions, just whatever came by Krishna's arrangement, that's all. But let us focus on cultivating Krishna consciousness and creating literatures that will benefit the whole world for at least the next 10,000 years. So how much indebted we are to these Goswamis? I've just come, I just arrived this morning from Vrindavan. We were just there in that land of the Goswamis, where every particle of dust is more valuable than all the wealth of the whole universe. So if we can even understand one sloka of the Bhagavad Gita perfectly, that is the greatest opulence, the greatest treasure, the greatest perfection. Here in this particular verse, Krishna is referring to the previous verse, those who are thus bewildered. So who? What is that thus bewildered? Avajananti mangbuddha manushim tanamashtang parang bhava majananto mamabhuto maheshvaram. Fools deride me. When I descend in the human form, they do not know my higher nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. They take Krishna to be an ordinary man, not to be the Supreme. This is difficulty. Krishna clearly calls them fools. Sometimes people say, well, Prabhupada uses this word fool and rascal too much. Prabhupada is not good because he's always saying fools and rascals. But Prabhupada is not saying. And the followers of Prabhupada, they also slander, criticize. They're always saying fools and rascals. Why do they say? They are not saying. Just like sometimes the accused murderer is brought to trial and the judge pronounces he is guilty of murder. He is murderer and he must be hanged, you see. And then the press people, they say, oh, such and such is a murderer. You see, they repeat the verdict of the judge. So did the reporter claim that he was a murderer? No. He's repeating the verdict of the judge. So who is the supreme judge? Krishna. Krishna is the supreme judge. Devotees are simply reporters. You can't blame them. They're just honestly reporting. They're just doing their job like the reporter. The newspaper reporter is just doing his job. And you say, why did you accuse him of being a murderer? I didn't accuse him. I just reported the judge's judgment. That's all. So devotees, Prabhupada is not saying fools and rascals. Devotees are not saying fools and rascals. That is Krishna who is saying fools and rascals. In this verse, he further elaborates on those fools and rascals. What is the result of their denying the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is the result? Three things. Is it? One thing is their hopes for liberation. Mogasya moga karmano. Moga asya means baffled in their hopes. In other words, you have no hope. If you're baffled in your hope, there is no hope. Mogasya moga karmano. You see. That's their fruit of activities. Yeah. In the Sanskrit, yeah. The result of their fruit of activities in the final issue, it'll be nowhere. And we see that in the modern civilization. They're thinking, oh, by scientific advancement, by research, by so many material means, we will create a heaven on earth. But we're seeing they're making it turning into more and more of a hell with every passing year. So, that is predicted by Krishna. Mogasya mogakaramano. Their fruit of activities will be baffled. They've polluted the air, they've polluted the water. They've created an atmosphere where the children's minds are so polluted they bring guns to school and shoot each other and shoot the teachers. You see? Mogasya mogakaramano. Moga jnana vichetasa. Their culture of knowledge. It's like this Darwin's theory, is it? Their culture of knowledge is actually nonsense. I went to one gathering of scientists. Actually, it was all the science students and all the science professors at the University of Florida came to hear a big, big PhD, Nobel laureate, speaking about black holes in outer space. Now, I'm not debating whether or not there are black holes. That's not the issue. The point is, their whole approach of trying to understand reality is fallacious. So anyway, everyone was treating him like he was the Jagat Guru, and except for me. But I thought I was there. I was a brahmachari in those days. Bright saffron robes, and shaved head, tilak. Standing out in the crowd, you could say, at least. And anyway, I raised my hand when the questions and answers came. And I said, is what you're saying, is it a theory or is it a fact? He said, I think it's a fact. Note the word I think. Oh, okay, some more questions came in. Then I got my hand up again, and then I said, this is called a loaded question. I didn't really intend it to be a loaded question, but Krishna made it be a loaded question. It was his mercy. He was putting the words in my mouth, actually. I asked him this. I said, throughout the history of modern science, we have seen that one theory comes into popularity for some time, and then it is replaced by another theory. How do we know that your theory will not be replaced by another theory? So he directly answered the question, which is admitting the fallacy of his first answer, actually. He said, I hope it is. Because then we'll be making progress. So just see the nonsense, so-called science, you see. He's stating it as a fact, and everybody's going, oh yes, this is a fact, black holes in outer space. What a wonderful realization now. We know there are black holes in outer space. How much we are becoming enlightened. Everybody was so excited to hear about black holes in outer space. They weren't recognizing the black holes in inner space. But anyway, he admitted that actually this will be proven wrong. What I'm saying tonight will be proven wrong in the future. When science progresses further, it will be shown that what I am telling you tonight as being the absolute truth will be shown to be wrong. Therefore, Krishna says, Mogasham Jnana Vicheta Saha. Their culture of knowledge will also be baffled. They accept such a fallacious system as knowledge, acquiring knowledge. And then what's the last item? Let's see. Their fruit of activities, their hope, their liberation. Where is that stated here? Built in somehow or other. I don't see how he's saying it. Let's see where in the Sanskrit, where is it saying liberation? Baffled in their hopes, baffled in fruit of activities. Oh, okay. Prabhupada is understanding Mogasha means their hopes for liberation. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because everyone is hoping they can get liberated from the anxieties, but those hopes will be smashed. Their hopes for liberation, smashed. Mogasha. Their hopes for success and fruit of activities, smashed. Moga karmana. And their hopes for advancement in knowledge, moga jnana. So everything is moga, moga, moga. You see, it is baffled. But the Krishna consciousness position is just the opposite, amogha. You see, never becomes baffled. So what does this mean now for each and every one of us sitting in this room here tonight and everybody throughout the whole universe? We have a choice to be moga or amogha. To be baffled or not baffled. Baffled means you don't know what's going on. You can't figure it out. You've tried everything and somehow nothing works and you're baffled. You tried your whole life to be happy by building up a bank balance and surrounding yourself with friends and relatives. In the last moment, you're completely baffled. It didn't work. Death is coming and this is not giving you any relief. All that endeavor you made for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years... it's baffled. Completely baffled. You see? So why be mogha when you can be amogha? Unbaffled, you see. And it is not difficult to be amogha. You simply have to hear how to be amogha from someone who is amogha. The bona fide spiritual master, the bona fide Vaishnavas, they will tell you how to be amogha, unbaffled, by understanding who you actually are. By knowing who you are, being who you are, in other words, fully realizing who you are. That's called Krishna consciousness. To fully realize who you are. This is not a sectarian religion that we're trying to impose on people by fancy words. No, we are simply trying to connect everyone with their true nature, which has been sitting within themselves for millions and millions of lifetimes, is dying to come out. Simply, you need that contact of bona fide Vaishnava, bona fide spiritual master, you see. And that original amogha nature will come out. Just like within every match, there is a fire. But you simply have to come up with the proper striking surface. And then the fire comes out of the match, you see. So everyone has that fire of spiritual perfection within them, dormant condition. They need the striking service. They need bona fide guru, bona fide Vaishnava, you see. And by that association with bona fide Vaishnava guru, that amogha nature, that unbaffled nature, who knows God, which knows God, and which can manifest pure love of God, you see, by proper guidance and association, that nature becomes reactivated. So Krishna consciousness is not something new or different being given to the soul. It is actually bringing the soul back to his or her original consciousness. As Prabhupada words it, the original natural energy of the living entity is Krishna consciousness. So that's why it's not really difficult to be Krishna conscious. The only thing that's really difficult is not to be Krishna conscious. That's the difficult thing. Because of bad association, we struggle so hard not to be Krishna conscious. It's strange, isn't it? We actually struggle not to be Krishna conscious. Because we've been so disoriented by growing up in this material culture, we actually struggle very hard to not be Krishna conscious. I mean, it's really the most asinine absurdity you could ever imagine. To struggle hard to be miserable. But that's what we're doing. So why struggle to be miserable? Why not just be ecstatic, you know? Why not just be... The bliss is in there. You just got to reconnect with it. You're out in the middle of the desert. It appears you're dying of thirst. But if you can drill deep enough through all that sand and all those rocks, you will hit a reservoir of water beneath the desert floor. So because for so many millions and billions of lifetimes we've been absorbed in lust, greed, anger, madness, illusion, and envy, we build up a pretty thick crust that separates us from our original, all-blissful, all-knowing, all-compassionate nature. So we just got to drill through all that crud. And what's that drilling process called? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Why did Prabhupada tell us to chant at least 16 rounds every day? Because we got a lot of crud in there. We got to do a lot of drilling to through the desert of our material consciousness to hit that reservoir of unlimited Krishna prema within. Every one of you have the greatest treasure, greater than all the wealth of this whole material existence, multiplied by 10 trillion times. Do you know you're the wealthy? You're more wealthy than anybody in the whole material world? Did you know that? Bill Gates is a pauper compared to you. Of course, he has it too, but he doesn't know it. You see? Everybody has the greatest wealth within them. No one is actually a poor man. Everyone has the greatest wealth. All you have to do is reconnect with it. Of course, any name of God will do. We're not saying you have to chant Hare Krishna, you know. A Muslim can chant Allah, a Christian can chant Christ, a Buddhist can chant Buddha. In this way, any name of God, but, and they say, well, why, you know, people ask me, well, you were raised as a Christian, why are you chanting Hare Krishna? You're saying that. Well, the reason is, according to the Kali Santarana Upanishad, of all the unlimited millions and millions of names of God, these particular names are the most potent and the most powerful in this age of Kali. And guess what they are? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's not that we chant Hare Krishna because we were brainwashed by some Hare Krishna people. No. We are scientists of the self-realization path. We'll chant any name that'll take us to spiritual perfection. Because these particular names will bring us in the most efficient, expeditious manner to the supreme state of enlightenment, pure Krishna Prem. Therefore, we chant those names. That's all. If somebody wants to chant Allah or Jehovah, we'll give them all encouragement. Very good. Very good. You chant those names, Allah, Jehovah, etc. Just like when a Muslim recently wrote me, and actually he's a Sufi Muslim. He recently, those who are on my thought for the day, you read this in my e-zine that comes out every day. But yeah, this Sufi Muslim had written me. He was brand new, but he was really into meditating on the name of Allah, but he was thinking silent meditation was where it was really at. Even though chanting it aloud is part of the Sufi tradition, he was thinking, but it's even better if I do it silently. So I explained to him, no, you will get more benefit if you make it audible than if you silently meditate on Allah. So I encouraged him to audibly chant the name of Allah. Because he's attached to chanting Allah, all right, then you chant. He's attached to Allah, all right, then you audibly say the name of Allah, not just silently, you see. So in this way, this is a scientific process, but it is most effective. We follow the Kali Santarana Upanishad injunction, then it is most powerful and most effective. The result is that your life becomes completely blissful. Instead of experiencing life as some sort of drudgery, it becomes supremely fun. Every day becomes a wonderful adventure. All you have to do is chant Hare Krishna mantra every morning, get these japa mala beads and chant. Prabhupada said preferably before sunrise or at least before noon. Get 16 rounds done of japa mala. Have a very strong spiritual charge for your spiritual battery, you see. And then you'll be amazed how London doesn't look the same. Becomes the whole material world becomes like a wonderland. I was scheduled actually to come from Vrindavan a couple of days from now, but the British Airways went on strike. So I was told either you have to come, early this morning actually we left from Delhi. They said either leave today or leave on the 25th. But I was scheduled to start to give a course on Uttama Bhakti in Radhadesh starting on the morning of the 25th, so I had to leave this morning. I had no choice to avoid the strike, but I was thinking, what a great opportunity. They gave me a free stopover in London on the way to Brussels. Wow, what a great opportunity. I can come here and share all this wonderful nectar with all of you wonderful devotees here in London. So, actually, On this CNN news site, they said, "Who has been affected by the strike? Let us hear your story." You know, they want to hear some horror stories. You know, so I told them how I was taking advantage of this taking wonderful advantage of this strike. And my entry is the most read entry. It's the number one entry out there on CNN right now. And I explained that actually I had to cut short my Indian pilgrimage to come and give a lecture. And I gave a plug for the temple, of course, the Radha Krishna Temple on Soho Street. And I said I would, in this lecture, I would explain how to not be disturbed by anxieties like airline strikes. And how you can actually ride this material world like an airplane back to that place where there are no airline strikes. So actually, this is the amazing thing of Krishna consciousness. You see, you can, just like when Dhruva Maharaj was leaving his body, death came running. Now normally if death comes running, we all become very frightened. Here comes death. But no, he wasn't bothered at all. He said, oh, this is very convenient. He stepped on the head of death and entered the Vaikuntha airplane. So this material world, it is Martya Loka. It is the death machine. It is death machine, actually. This material world is a death machine. But for devotee, hey, that's not a big, that's no problem. Devotee will just utilize that death machine to enter into Goloka, you see. So, I explain like this to the readers of CNN. That one can ride on the airplane of this material existence back to that place where there are no airline strikes. See, the Vaikuntha airplanes, you see, the Vishnu Dutas, they have airplanes. The Vishnu Dutas never go on strike. So if you want to be sure of not having your flight canceled, book a flight on the Vaikuntha airline. And here's how you buy your ticket. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, I've been told to end at 5:30, which is 5 minutes. So we have a few minutes for questions. And there will be another question and answer session starting at 6, is it?
6:15.
What room?
It's on in the seminar room.
In the seminar room at 6:15, we will go deeper into this ocean of unlimited nectar. As many people as we can squeeze into the room. And so are there any questions now?
There's one question over here.
Yeah.
It's the question of Krishna. If he arrives in this room, would anyone recognize him?
The question is, if Krishna were to arrive in this room, would anyone recognize him? Well, I can tell you this, that even when Krishna was on this planet 5,000 years ago, many people saw him, oh, there's Krishna, but they didn't recognize that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they had no love for Krishna. So I can guarantee you this, that anybody in this room who is actually cultivating genuine love for Krishna, if Krishna walked in the room, he would bless them with the ability to recognize that here is Krishna. And those who take Krishna as some means of fulfilling their material desires, like, you know, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me, they won't recognize him. They would miss it, you see. So the key is, if you want to be able to recognize Krishna when he appears, then I advise, sir, that you would follow the injunction given by Lord Brahma in the Brahma Samhita. Premanjana chodita bhakti velochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shama shundaram jagarasvarupam govindamadipurusham tamaham bhajami. For those whose eyes are anointed with the ointment of love of God, they are able to see Krishna within their heart and within, and Prabhupada also said, and without also. They can see God within and without at every second. So they don't have to wait for God to come because actually God is already present. So those who have actually purified their vision by cultivating seriously Krishna consciousness, they will see God. And actually, we are all seeing God. But the difficulty is our eyes are out of focus. It's like someone who needs glasses. They're blind as a bat without their glasses, you see. So actually, God is omnipresent. There's no place where God is not present. But because our eyes are out of focus due to too much entanglement in lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, we cannot see the Lord. But if you will cultivate seriously Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, love of God, by following the footsteps of the great acharyas and the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, then what will happen, there will be a gradual healing of your vision. Gradually, your vision will come into focus, and gradually, the fog will clear away, and you will see Krishna standing in front of you. He's actually already there. But we just cannot see him because of all that lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, which is clouding our vision. But if you will seriously chant this Hare Krishna mantra and follow these regulated principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, you will find an amazing transformation of consciousness begins to manifest in your heart, and that will just become more amazing, more amazing, more amazing, until finally one day you become completely pure and you will see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. Okay? So follow this pathway and we guarantee the result. Absolutely guaranteed. If you follow these instructions you've been given and you don't see Krishna face to face, then I will give you £10,000 cash. I guarantee a £10,000 guarantee. Okay, we'll squeeze one more in.
Is it possible Krishna not to have his flute on him? In any like statue or any picture, he must have his flute.
Saying, is there times when Krishna doesn't have his flute?
Is there any time when he doesn't have his flute?
Does he have to have his flute?
Yes and no. Every single pastime of Krishna is eternal. That means that Krishna is eternally playing his flute. And he never stops playing his flute. But at the same time that he's putting, in one lila, he's putting his flute in his mouth, and the other lila, he's putting butter in his mouth. So Krishna is eternally eating butter, he's eternally playing the flute, and he's also eternally kissing Radharani. So all these are happening eternally. These are called nitya lila. You may say, well, how can he do more than one thing at a time? Well, God is, he has a chinchashaka, he has inconceivable potencies. He can do every single pastime eternally. Millions and millions of pastimes he can do eternally all at the same time. So you may say, well, I just, inconceivable to me, Prabhu, I just can't understand how I could be, well, become a pure devotee and you can witness it firsthand. And you can participate in it as one of his intimate associates.
What I mean is that I see a statue of Krishna standing like this with no flute in his hand. I was just wondering, is it supposed to be like that?
He was just wondering. He saw a statue of Krishna standing with a flute in his hand. Without a flute. Without a flute. His hands are up.
Somebody left the flute out of the statue?
Yeah.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. We want to hear that flute always playing. Yes. Okay, you really have to come to the... I've been told, I don't know how strict it is here, but I just, unless I'm told otherwise, I follow my instructions. Yeah, I've been told it's very strict. There will be a question and answer session. And if you can't make it to that, take your pencil and paper. I'm going to give you my email address. You can always email me at SDA. I'm Sankarshan Das Adhikari, so my initials are SDA. If you just write to SDA at backtohome.com, backtohome.com, I will answer your question by email if you can't make it to the session at 6:15. And if you want to get on my free e-course, you just go to www.backtohome.com. And I'll send you something every day, some exciting nectar every day in your email box. Okay, anything that will stop here, and we thank you all very much for your kindly participating in this most glorious Hare Krishna movement. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
His Grace Sankarshan Prabhu ki
jai.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.